This is Robin Ayu from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to another episode. This is our episode 64. I can't believe I'm saying this. We passed a one-year celebration of our young channel, and I want to thank everybody who contributed to this channel, either by liking, viewing our content, sharing our content. It seems to resonate with people. So I want to thank everybody for making us visible in the from a content perspective on LinkedIn, on YouTube, etc., and all the podcast channel. And I welcome everybody today for an interesting episode. We have quite the panel with me, and we're going to be talking about something called VLUG. I can't wait to dig deeper into the description of VLUG. That's interesting, and it's modeled after several other cities, which is great. I have with me today Pascal Tremblay. Welcome. Paula Hunter, also welcome to the discussion. And Eduardo De Silva, thank you for joining me, all of you. And thanks for being part of this discussion. Thanks for being part of the dialogue. Thanks again. So let's start with a quick round of introduction. And on this channel, everybody's got a localization story. I can't wait to hear your story. So tell me a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind. We'll start with Paula, then we'll talk to Pascal, and then we'll do Eduardo.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd love to start by, like you said, talking about how we came into localization. And you say accident or on purpose. I like to say we fall into localization, right? Not many people in high school, elementary school, you know, aspire to be a localization manager. So my background, so I've been in the localization industry now for over 20 years. And how I fell into it was I've always had a love of languages. I studied French, I studied Spanish, and then in university, I majored in Hispanic and Italian studies. But then at the end of a Bachelor of Arts in languages, what do you do with that? And so I ended up, you know, going back to lifeguarding and teaching fitness and doing the jobs that I had done to put myself through school. So I did that for a couple of years, and I realized, okay, I need to make a switch. I need to go back to school and take something more specialized. And so I was on the path to taking my master's in Spanish to teach at the college university level. And this program kind of fell in my lap. One of my friends said there's this 2-year computing science diploma program being offered in Vancouver for Bachelor of Arts graduates. So people with no computer experience, which was me. I didn't have a computer. I didn't have email. I didn't have any of that stuff. And so I thought, well, there was a co-op or internship in the U.S. They call it internship. In Canada, we call it co-op. And so I thought, well, this is great. This is a path for a job. And so I got into the program, and midway through, one of the co-op job offerings was localization. And I had no idea what that was. And when I discovered it was a combination of, you know, high tech and languages, I thought, this is perfect. And so went back to school. And after I graduated, the same company hired me back. And that was how I fell in over 20 years ago. And I'm also very passionate about co-op programs for exactly that reason. You know, my former team, we had a co-op program for 7-8 years. I believe it's still going. Eduardo can speak to that a little bit more. So just really quickly. So, again, 20 years, the first half of my career was a software project manager, you know, responsible for one piece of software, localizing, working with the vendors, getting it tested, all that stuff. Last 10 years, I spent at a company called Avigilon, which was acquired by Motorola Solutions. And that's really where my career transformed from becoming a project manager to building out a team, building out a program, building out a strategy, aligning all the departments together to make sure that everyone was rowing in the same international direction. So that's my career in a nutshell. My last role actually with Motorola was a chief of staff, director of business operations. And I was promoted into that role because there was a reorg and localization professionals, like we are operation experts, right? Like we scale to survive, I like to say. And so that was a really, really fun experience. But I've since stepped back and decided to give back to the localization community, doing things like, you know, bringing together VLUG, which we'll talk about in a little bit, you know, participating in podcasts like this, on panels, mentoring, doing a little bit of a consulting with NIMSY, that sort of thing. So.
And Paula, you're located in Canada, right? In Vancouver, I believe,
correct.
Right?
Yeah, in Vancouver.
Well, we have another Canadian on the panel with us, but who is an expat in the US, I guess, right, Pascal? I think we can call you an expat, right? Pascal, tell us your story a little bit.
Yeah, well, thank you, Robin, for having us today, and congrats on the episode 64. That's amazing. And so I've been in the localization industry for quite some time as well, for about 25 years. I like the way Paula picture how we fall into localization. I think it's true for me as well. Growing up in Quebec and coming from a small region and where nobody speaks English, well, at least at the time, I was passionate about language. So I was always trying to decipher labels and packaging. And later on, I discovered bilingual signage in Montreal and so on. So I was really passionate. And actually, in college, I decided to go to McGill and study linguistics and philosophy and literature because I just love languages. And Leonard Cohen actually was a big part of it because I moved to Vancouver to learn English. And I really, really wanted to understand his poetry well. So I really pushed myself and, voila. So it was all about languages. But for personal reasons, I moved to the US and I started working pretty young in the software industry. And at one point, and localization was not a concept that, existed as a career path, or it was something some people did in the software industry. And working in the software industry, I was in customer support. It was supposed to be a summer job. And then they asked me, they said, oh, you speak a few languages. Why don't you be our localization coordinator? I'm like, what's that? And so 25 years later, I'm still in the localization industry. And I spent actually a major part of my life at Gap. I'm the former head of localization at Gap. And one thing, I spent 17, 18 years there. And so for people, it might seem a long time to spend at a company, but when you are in a field that is so new and that evolves so rapidly, your professional growth also follows that path. And so starting as a transcreator, I built the entire localization and language product function within the Gap. I learned to use technology. I used to be a technology owner as well. So how to develop. So there's so many opportunities. And I love to say that, language and localization is the career path is as rich as language, and it's in constant evolution. So I've been here for a very long time, and I'm excited to actually, because I'm located in Seattle and we have Slug in Seattle, I'm super excited to support Paula and Eduardo in setting up the event in Vancouver, because being an expat and having localization, I'm really excited for a Canadian localization community to grow.
Absolutely. And thanks, Pascal, for the introduction. Eduardo, our panel ambassador to Gala. So tell us a little bit about yourself. You're on mute, Eduardo, if you don't mind unmuting yourself.
Thank you. Thank you for having all of us here. Well, my experience in localization is a little more recent compared to our other folks here. I started 8 years ago. Prior to that, I was a graphic designer. I was living in Brazil, but my wife and I, we decided to change a little bit our life and go in search for new opportunities, of career opportunities. And then we found out that we were eligible to come to Canada as a skilled worker. And we decided to see how it would work. So, and after 14 years here in Canada, I say that it really worked well. after some struggle in the beginning, as every immigrant has to go through. But we are really happy to be here. So when I moved to Canada, I was looking for, you know, new opportunities, new ways I could work, different job opportunities. After a few, you know, survival jobs that we have to take in order to settle in a new country, I found this opportunity that, you know, we would, Avigilum, the company that I still work for, was looking for someone to do DTP for marketing assets. I had some really good experience in publications as a graphic designer. I was working for some clients in Brazil that they had work, they had business in several countries. So I was doing some multilingual publications. And so I think that that helped me a lot with starting a new job. So I started working as a DTP professional for localization for marketing assets at Avigilum. Quickly, I moved to a more like a project management side. I did some training. I took a course for project management with the Localization Institute. And a course for later, I took a course for localization engineering in the University of Washington, and that led me to my current role as a program manager at Avigilum that was acquired by Motorola, as Paulo mentioned. And now my job is to drive the initiatives of the localization team. To improve the processes of the our current workflows and improve our daily, you know, lives in the company. So that's really basic.
Absolutely. Eduardo, you're located in Vancouver, I assume?
Yes, I am located in Vancouver. It's been a great time to...
I love Vancouver, man. If I can convince my wife, I will move to Vancouver. But okay, so thank you for everybody for the introduction. I really loved your stories, and I really loved Eduardo's survival job story because it reminded me of one job that I did. I'm an immigrant. I came to Canada as you did a little earlier, but one of the survival jobs is just reminded me of it. I took on the first job. I think it was the second day I arrived to the country. And I didn't speak English at the time. I spoke French and Arabic. And so the individual says, we're going to put you in a construction job. I said, I don't know anything about construction. I'm a computer programmer. So put me in a construction job. And I remember, you know, after the owner found out that I'm this guy who works for you in a construction, he's a computer programmer. He asked me to rewrite his billing system. We were using Visual Basic at the time. So I was doing construction during the day and I was rewriting the billing system at night. So I thought I'd throw that in there, but just, you're absolutely correct. In both countries, the United States and Canada, is made out of immigrants. And, you know, the basis of our industry in general is that melting pot of demographics, that it's thrive, making this industry is necessary industry for building bridges in between communities. Mm-hmm. And allowing us to communicate a lot better, not just on a commercial side, but on a humanity side so as well. So I can't wait to, you know, uncover for our audience the initiative that you are working on. It's very interesting. Mark Schreiner came to me, said, hey, you should talk to these guys and to these ladies and try to figure out, you know, how can we promote this? Because every initiative in the localization industry is worth talking about, in my opinion. We don't have enough conversations in our industry. I think we need a bigger voice, and I'm glad that you guys are putting this together. Tell me a little bit about who wants to go first. I think we'll start with Pascal because you're a little bit a veteran, I'm hearing, about this particular initiative. So how's Slug Works? That's Seattle something. I can't remember. What does it stand for first?
The amount of slugs we find in our garden. No, I'm kidding. It's the Seattle Localization User Group.
Okay.
And actually, it's just restarted maybe this past year. It died down a little bit during the pandemic, and there was not much going around in the Seattle area. But Rick and Tessena and also Mark decided to bring it back to life and really bring people from all sides of the localization industry. So you find people working within the corporate environment, you find people from LSPs or technology providers, and so. And we've had some very interesting guests coming at our Seattle event, and there is definitely this appetite to come together and have these discussions, and especially with at a time where everything is changing so rapidly. I mean, when we look at, there's a bit of an AI fatigue, and so, but we have to talk about AI because it's trend. You know, it's transforming all industry, but our industry specifically. And we have to have those conversation among each other from the client side, the vendor side, and the technology side, because the way we consume services as resources or as technology is really going to shape our future. And this is really this has been really important in helping Paula and Eduardo set up that community in Vancouver. My focus from the technology product side is to really have that conversation around technology, product, and how do we really maximize the human input within that cycle? Because at the end of the day, whether it's machine translation, generative AI, the output is only possible with our most precious resources that are translators that are inputting the data. And so, how do we really have that open conversation between all sides of the industry?
And to be honest with you, I'm glad you've thanks for the explanation, by the way, Pascal. And I'm glad to see the direction you're going with this, because most conversation group or most association in our industry, they have a preset requirements to join. And it sounds like it's an open conversation for anybody involved from the localization industry. You don't need to be a company, you don't need to have a certain certification. You don't need to be a specifically a project manager or an entrepreneur who owns a company, et cetera. So anybody who's got interest in having a conversation on the topic of localization as a user or as a point of interest in the industry seems to be part of the they can be part of the discussion. Am I correct?
Absolutely. And I think we also, I'm going to let Paula and Eduardo expand on that, but there's also, you don't need to be in localization. And the same is true in Seattle. It's all about how do we look at content and how do we connect the experience to either employees or customer. But Paula, Eduardo, I think you're better set to talk about the mission and the vision for the program.
All right, let's talk about Vancouver Localization User Group, which is VLUG. Who wants to go, Eduardo or Paula?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit. So after attending a few events for in Seattle, we thought that we would be a great idea to start our own localization group here in Vancouver, because there's not much happening in terms of events for the localization community here in Vancouver. And we know that, there's a lot of companies here that work with localization. There's a lot of professionals out there working in the localization, but we are missing, some community here, some events that bring people together and generate some of those discussions. So we are trying to build this community now, and bring people together. As you said, there's no need for being specifically working in the localization industry. Just people that have interest in the field want to engage in some discussions and want to be part of this community. They're all welcome. So that's.
So, Paula, would you mind talk a little bit about the format? So, it's a great idea. There is no barrier of entry. Anybody who's interested in the topic can join, can contribute. So what's the format? Is it a weekly, monthly meeting? Is there a place where you meet? Is it virtual? What's your thoughts on that one? How can people get involved, I guess?
Yeah, so my thoughts are, like we've talked about, you know, there's a lot of localization professionals in Vancouver, and I was surprised when I went to LinkedIn and I Googled Vancouver localization, and there were, you know, hundreds of people. And so we do want to open it up. Like you said, I like to call it, it's open to localization and localization curious folks, because the more like stakeholders and people that are on the periphery of localization understand, I mean, that is really going to advance the localization industry, which is one of the missions. You know, Pascal touched about it. Like, we need to have these discussions. And with all the hype, like we have fatigue, we're all overwhelmed, it's all online. You know, I find personally coming together in person, having that face to face, just physically grounds you. You know, your feet are on the ground, you're talking to people, it grounds your mind, you can share experiences. And so, you know, that's, I'm just reiterating what everyone else was saying here. So the format, what I'm envisioning is, I really like what Slug does. So Slug's mission is to have, you know, four really robust events per year. I would love to be able to do that. You know, it is venue dependent. You know, Eduardo has so generously offered to be the point of contact to offer up the Avigilon Motorola office for this particular event on May 14th. So what I'm thinking for this first, what we're all thinking for this first one, is start with, you know, some opening remarks, like share what our mission is, share what we want this to become. And then we'd really like to make it interactive. Like we said, there's a lot of localizers in Vancouver. We don't really know each other. So we want to have like an icebreaker type of thing. So everybody gets to know each other, and, you know, just to feel more comfortable. And then we'll move into a panel. We have, Pascal has very generously offered to drive to host this panel of experts. And maybe I'll let Pascal speak a little bit more detail about the panel itself. But we're bringing in people, I think they're all from Seattle, actually. They're making a Slug migration, as somebody posted the other day. I thought that was pretty funny. The largest Slug migration from the US to Canada in history. But, you know, we have people from, you know, the technology, the vendor, and the consultancy, and then Pascal will bring the client side. And I'm really looking forward to the discussions that, you know, she generates with this panel. I'm imagining it to be interactive with the audience. Like, I want this to be, you know, interactive community, like everyone getting to know each other, everybody sharing their experience. I would love, like, my goal is to find out how everyone in the room fell into localization somehow. You know, we'll have networking before and after, and it's going to be sponsored by Centific. So, you know, we'll have food, we'll have beverages. The space is really beautiful. There's some, like, maybe some of the icebreakers, Eduardo, I was thinking we could have some ping pong or foosball. We've got, you know, basketball, that kind of thing, scattered in between. So, and then at the very end, it was suggested to me by, I think, Mark or Rick, that we do like a job, like give people the opportunity to say if they're hiring or if they're looking for work, just to have that visibility and to really help each other, you know, find that role and fill in these spots, because the market is quite tough right now. So, you know, being able to provide that for the attendees as well, I think will add some value.
Is there a membership structure, or is it, how does that work? Is there membership fees? How does it work?
No fees. We have two places that you can learn more about Vlug and keep up to date. So there's a LinkedIn group called Vlug, and I can send you those links. And then there's,
yeah, that'd be great. Then what we do, Paula, is we'll include them in the video description so people can check them out and give it a little bit more visibility. If you have any other material, like any links or whatever, just send them over to me. And sure. When I edit the video, I'll include them in the video as well.
Perfect. Yeah. So we have a LinkedIn Vlug group, and we also have a meetup group, which is what Eduardo owns and is driving, and that's being used to send the invites and RSVP and such.
I really love the idea of no barrier to entry to this. Mm-hmm. It's going to encourage a whole bunch of honest discussions that has no reservation in terms of, like, when people get involved, and just to give you an example, the opposite side of this, when you get involved in an association, be it representative of a company or on your behalf, et cetera, there's always an ulterior motive. I mean, why would anybody do any initiative if there's nothing in it for them? But in this case, it sounds like people are going to be joining for the love of what they do. And to, you know, one of the things that I keep talking about in the association here in Canada, the Canadian Language Industry Association, is that, you know, our age group have one major responsibility. Major responsibility is to hand over the industry to the next generation, a healthy industry to be handed over to the next generation. If we are the last generation to work in this industry, we've done a terrible job. I think our job should be is to make sure that this industry thriving to a point when the young generation, and I'm talking to the Glendon College, I'm presenting at the World Speak Conference here in the next 23rd of May. And we're talking to the young graduates about, you know, what do you need to do? How do you get a job? What's your job prospects? Mm-hmm. You got a room full of entrepreneurs. Do you want a job? Do you want to work in the industry? Or did you take the translation or linguistic degree just for the fun of it? Mm-hmm. So it's those types of conversation that it's got no ulterior motive. You're not going in there for any other reason other than either to learn, which mm-hmm. is very, very interesting as well, to teach other, and to perhaps pass the baton on to the next generation by continuing on the prosperous journey of this industry. Thanks for this explanation. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, Robin, just to piggyback on what you said about, you know, giving presentations to, you know, educate people about the localization industry and such, I read a statistic that enrollment in linguistics and language programs is actually on the decline, and which is concerning, you know, to your point. And I'm thinking even younger. So my daughter's in grade 7 and she's in late French immersion. And so I've been asked to present at Career Day. So I am going to come to this French immersion class and talk about localization, talk about, you know, they did this entrepreneur project, and I'm going to get the students thinking about, okay, you sold your product at this fair. What do you need to think about if you want to sell that product to another country? And, you know, all of them now speak another language. And so, you know, I want to share with them all the different types of professions that you can do. If you do study languages, there's so much that you can do. There's so much value, the skills that you, you know, inherit, the skills that you learn. So I'm actually really excited about that.
So you bring up a very good point on influencing academia. And I think as an industry, when we get to influence academia at the post-secondary level, I think we're too late. I think mm-hmm. the decision has already been made.
Yeah.
What I used to do 15, 20 years ago, I used to go around, Pascal will know the names, University of Laval, Sherbrooke, University of Montreal. And we used to do, and I used to go to the high school levels. We used to go to the high schools and do lunch and learn with the high school students, talking about the industry, talking about the importance of, you know, studying languages and planting the seeds early before they make a decision, which degree should I be taking? Mm-hmm. Now, the industry, and you mentioned earlier, like somebody mentioned, we have an AI fatigue. And I think the discussions around technology with the context of technology ending the industry, it's a wrong thing to do. And I don't think we should have that conversation. I think the industry needs technology, but equally the industry needs people to drive this industry forward in terms of using technology, enabling appropriate use of technology in the way we conduct our business. So you're right. There is so much focus on the tech part and not enough focus on the human part, which I love that initiative that you guys are putting together, bringing people together. That's number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Robin, here, when we look at in part of the tech panel that we're going to have at the vlog is also, it's not focusing specifically on AI and what are the new features, but really having this open discussion on today's challenge with the implementation of AI. So a part of it is, how do you balance innovation and current operations? Because in a business context, you need to continuously deliver. But at the same time, you need to be thinking 5 years from now, how are you going to deliver? And so with guest panelists from NIMSY, MemoQ, and also Scientific, and we're going to take kind of a holistic view of how do these folks approach balancing current needs with innovation. And then, you know, talking about reaching out to academia, How do you cultivate creativity and innovation? Because when you're in the localization and language industry, it's we've been shaping our career for the past 20 years, and it takes an entrepreneurial mindset to do that. And how do you talk about it, and how do you help people develop it? So we're going to look at that a little bit during the panel from these experts. And again, this is also to bring that holistic view of how do we communicate or work together to create new things, right? Yep. And also in another topic is adapting to changing markets. How do we manage that? It's so, you know, oh my God, I have too many ideas right now that are trying to come out at once. But, you know, adapting to new markets, you know, you think about, you establish your workflow, your automation, and you feel, oh, okay, this is it. This is great. And then you turn around, oh no, we have a whole new suite of technology tools, and then we have to do ABC, and now we have to change everything again. So how do you manage that constant change? Because that's always an evolution. So we're going to look at that and really create those human connection to really enhance that human experience within our profession.
So thanks, Pascal, for that explanation, which is very important as well, is to set ourselves up for the future, for the next, 5-10 years down the road. And, technology is just the beginning, to be honest with you. And I keep telling people it's a calculator to an accountant. You know, you need a calculator. Why would you add the numbers in your head? You can, but you would need a calculator as an accountant. And technology is nothing like that, nothing more than that. You know, it's not going to replace the accountant. We still need an accountant. Eduardo, talk to me a little bit about, you have an event coming up on May 14th, right?
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about that and put a little bit of publicity on the May 14th event in Vancouver. Tell me a little bit, where is it taking place, what time, and what's the program?
Okay, so first of all, I would like to thank our company, Motorola Solutions, for providing the space for the event. We are hosting the event on May 14 on our atrium. It's going to start at 5 p.m. And then we're going to have social time there. As Paula mentioned, Scientificates will be sponsoring food and beverages. We're going to have some network time. Then we're going to have our panel. And then after that, we will still have more time, a little bit more time to, you know, do some networking and social time. We will have the link for the meetup page, and that's where you can, RSVP for our event. I also encourage you to become a member of the group. So you can stay tuned for next events. Hopefully this is the first of many events that we'll have in this with this group. And I'm seeing a huge interest in this community for this event. We're getting a lot of people, a lot of responses, a lot of people that are already attending. I'm pretty sure that this will be just the first event, and there's will be many others coming up soon.
Oh, excellent. And I encourage everybody, thanks Eduardo for sending me those links. We'll put them in the description. I encourage everybody to check them out and participate in the vlog event on May 14th. And Eduardo, is this like all day, or you have like a few hours?
No, we are starting at 5 p.m.
Oh, okay.
So after work hour. So as everybody finished their work, they head to the venue, and we have some the event going up for from 5 until around 8:30 or 9 p.m.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. Well, great. And you know what? This event, this initiative, actually, you guys are starting, it generates a whole bunch of creative ideas in my brain around what do we do on the Canadian space. Because this is the first one coming from the south over, from Seattle, I guess, to Vancouver, and wondering if we can come like everything else in this country, storms, snowstorms, etc. They come from the west to the east. Hopefully, this one will bring also the good news for the rest of the country, and you know, have this initiative you guys are doing in Vancouver maybe replicated in other cities as well. And I can see, you know, the Montreal one, and I can see the Ottawa one, and I can see also the Toronto one. Toronto is, as you guys know, it's the economic capital, and there's a lot of businesses here in Canada. I guess according to the Fraser Institute, we have like 60% of head offices of the country are in Toronto. I'm talking about enterprise offices, so banking, insurance, etc. It's a big center. Mm-hmm. And maybe something like this down the road will let you get on your feet first with this one. And I'm hoping to make it to your 14th. I was going to surprise you and drop by. But I do have a meeting in Montreal. See if somebody else can take that over from me and head over to see you guys and participate. I'd love to support you. Let's talk about
come for the next one. Come for the next one. Because we will have another one. You know, if I may, I wanted to also add, last month I attended a free conference called Product Camp. And it was held at the Emily Carr University, just down the street from my home in East Van. And it's a free event. And essentially, the structure is like a localization conference, but it's driven by product managers, and it's driven by all the attendees. And so people pitch their ideas on what to present, and then the community votes on which presentations they're most interested in, and then they get selected and they present. And I was blown away. This was an all-day event, you know, to your point. And it was an amazing community. I was so blown away that Vancouver has this product management community, and I was really quite inspired. I'm like, ooh, so maybe that could be an idea for a future event, you know, give people an opportunity to present that may not have that opportunity to present in their current roles.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of, I believe, you know, harnessing these ideas and bring them to the top, as don't leave them like under a rock somewhere, just give them some exposure as what you guys are doing. They don't need to belong to a certain association. They don't need to pay to get in. We're just interested in creativity and idea and bringing people together. You know, that's, in my opinion, that's a great objective as you guys are putting it together. Mm-hmm. What is Paula, and if you don't mind, what is the Canadian, if you will, spin on this? What is the Canadian perspective on not just vlog in specific to Vancouver, but in general? I mean, you must see other possibilities here.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's an opportunity to talk about, you know, bringing more Indigenous languages into the localization space, and I'm seeing some increases in that. I tried to pull up some articles that I'd read about it. I couldn't find them. But I've seen like a surge in video games, you know, adding some Indigenous languages, adding some characters, you know, that sort of thing, which I think is amazing. You know, I know in high school in the Vancouver education system, they're making Indigenous studies a requirement, and they're combining it with a social studies course or an English course, which I think is fantastic. And so, you know, this is just localization is just another venue, especially with things like video games. You know, you can teach culture through fun and games and things like that. And then the other topic that comes to mind is, you know, Bill 96, which, you know, I know Pascal is much more familiar with and passionate about. So I might bump that over to her to speak to. But, you know, essentially the need to have French language in everything because of this bill.
What's your perspective, Pascal, on this one?
Well, it brings a lot of complexity to execute business in Quebec. And for a lot of U.S. enterprise or Canadian enterprise that are not based in Canada, in Quebec, or they don't have physical entities in Quebec, it's a direct translation or a localization, right? But if you're a retailer or an enterprise that has a physical presence in the province of Quebec, there's another whole slew of complexity in terms of how do you communicate with your employees? What are the rules? What are the exceptions? And so that, I think, would be worth having a bigger conversation with the industry, because the law is also changing a little bit and updating as people are learning from it. So I think as a future event, we talked about maybe we have a spotlight on Bill 96, not just from the translation perspective, but also how do you manage employee? What are some policies people are implementing to help address that? Because it's in how do you ensure inclusivity with Quebec employees? And so we'll see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Bill 96 is very important. Obviously, I've been dealing with Bill 96 since it came out. Mm-hmm. And I've written a few pieces on Bill 96. I've written a blog post and a few other opinions on it. And just to help people guide them through the major, you know, headings, if you will, of the law. And the Bill 96 is an important topic, but the bilingualism environment in Canada is the overarching, if you will, umbrella. And that leads to Bill 96, which is specific to Quebec. But as you know, in Canada, all federally regulated companies are obligated to translate. It doesn't matter if they're in Quebec or not in Quebec. Mm-hmm. And that includes banks, insurance companies, etc. If you are in Quebec, you have a bigger obligation. If you have like 25 employees or more, then you are in a different set of rules in which you need to check with your lawyer and your local representatives in Quebec to figure out what you need to do there. I mean, as localization industry, I tell people that we cannot advise on legal stuff, but we can tell you what we know and, you know, take that into your plan if you want to. But I cannot be your lawyer. So,
right. No, that's a very good point. You know, we can only talk about what we know, but we can't advise.
that's right. The other thing is maybe interesting, I don't know, just as an update because we're having a conversation about Canada, is as you know, the federal government of Canada has added now 5 Aboriginal languages to the roster of languages included in the parliamentary translation, interpretation, etc. So there's 5 Aboriginal languages that there are included, and their demand is high now for Aboriginal language translation, driven mainly by the federal requirements, plus the federally regulated companies that they're operating in an Aboriginal area. So, and the second topic on the Aboriginal is the preservation of languages. So, as you know, there's a close to 170, I think, or 100 thereabout languages or dialects spoken in Canada from an Aboriginal perspective. The challenges would be that. You know, as these languages are, you know, the people who are speaking the languages are getting old and, natural end, I guess. How do we preserve these languages and how do we move them to the next generation? How do we make sure that these languages, we don't wake up one day and we only have 5 out of 100 and God knows how many. But that's another topic for another day. But the Canadian environment from a language perspective, I always say we translate because we're legislated here in Canada, in the U.S., you translate because of economic reasons. And so, yes, not all translation in Canada is legislated. By the way, I don't want to mislead people. It's an 80-20 rule. 80% of it is legislated, 20% for commercial. So there's a lot of possibilities out there. So, and the initiative you guys are working on is absolutely necessary. It's absolutely timely. And I love the openness that you guys are throwing on the table too, and the inclusivity that you guys are promoting. It's great to have people coming in with open arms and give us your ideas as long as your ideas fit within the group. I think that's the message here. Mm-hmm. Fit within the group that you're going to be they're going to be listening or consuming this information. Anything else you'd like to add on VLUG or any other topic, Pascal?
I think we're very grateful for your time to, for giving us the space and the time to talk about this event. This is going to be very exciting. And this is hopefully, like Eduardo was mentioning, the first of many.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Paula, anything on your side to close the recording?
Yeah, I mean, I think we covered it all. Just in addition to the events that we want to put on, you know, I would love for, like, one takeaway from our first event is that people make connections with each other. And if they're struggling with something, you know, at work, or they want to bounce an idea, they can go have lunch together downtown in Vancouver, wherever they're located, and, you know, just make that connection with each other. It doesn't have to be like a VLUG official event, but, you know, bringing people together to, you know,
continue the conversation.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like a support group. I love this idea. Like, I mean, we all go through a bunch of things during our jobs. Eduardo knows and everybody knows. And I'd love to bounce some ideas off somebody without any preconceived notion of judgment or any, mm-hmm. you know, anything like this, just to help me out, not mm-hmm. just to poke fun or to make, you know, to make poke holes in it. I love the idea, Paula. It's a great idea. It's just a, we're going through a transformative time in our industry, and this is well needed. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Eduardo, anything on your side?
No.
Any closing comments?
No, I just want to thank you very much for having us here. I'm really excited about this coming up event, and really excited about, you know, creating this community and building up and doing more events in the future. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. And to wrap it up, I want to thank all of you, Pascal, Paula, and Eduardo, for joining me today on this episode number 64 for our localization fireside chat recording. And thanks for taking the time. I really appreciate the information that you brought up during this recording. The vlog and the Seattle localization user group, SLUG, is a very important initiative that you guys are embarking on. I wish you nothing but success, and I'm sure it will be success, just because of the nature of what you're describing to me. I can just see nothing but success for this one. And I'm here to support you. So this is, consider this channel as your voice. If you need more time, more airtime on this channel, more messages to be broadcasted, you'd let me know. Happy to host you again. And thanks a lot for our listeners for tuning in. If you're coming in on our podcast, and thank you for watching if you're coming in on YouTube. Really appreciate your time. And until next time, this is Robin Ayoub, Pascal Tremblay, Paula Hunter, and Eduardo da Silva signing off.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.